You're listening to a sermon from Red Door Church in Melbourne. For more information, go to reddoorchurch.com.au.
Selected verses from Proverbs. You can follow along either maybe on the screen or on the handout that you're given as you came in the front door. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. What a person desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. The accomplishments of thieves are their own enemies. They are put under oath and dare not testify. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Those who flatter their neighbours are spreading nets for their feet. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. From John 15, my command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. How's the mic going? Can you guys hear me at the back? Excellent. My name is John. It's great to see you here this morning. One of the things that we try to do here at Red Door is to make all of life about Jesus. Not just Sundays, but all of life, Monday to Saturday as well. And so last week, we started a mini-series on the book of Proverbs to consider how we can better follow Christ in two major areas of life in particular, work and friendship. Last Sunday, we looked at what Proverbs says about work, because most of us spend the majority of our waking time at work. And today we're looking at what Proverbs says about friendship, because when we're not working, we're often with our friends or family. And because friendship is an incredibly important aspect of life. Last year, some psychologists published a book called The Social Brain, The Psychology of Successful Groups, which has a chapter called Why Friends Are Good for Your Health, which says this: By far, the biggest medical surprise of the past decade has been the extraordinary number of studies showing that the single best predictor of health and well-being is simply the number and quality of close friendships you have. By comparison, the traditional factors that your doctor usually worries about on your behalf only make modest contributions. And then they lay out the research that concludes that good friendships are a better predictor of health and long life than not smoking, not drinking, getting regular exercise, avoiding drugs, and maintaining a healthy body weight. All of those things are important, but good friendships are even more important for your health and well-being. In fact, the longest ever study conducted on human happiness, the Harvard Study of Adult Development, which followed 724 people over an 85-year period, asking them detailed questions about their lives every 2 years, concluded that rather than career achievement, money, exercise, or a healthy diet, positive relationships keep us happier, healthier, and help us to live longer. This study went on to demonstrate that people with stronger friendships have lower rates of diabetes, arthritis, cognitive decline, and other chronic conditions. Having good friendships and relationships really is one of the most important aspects of life. In fact, one of the reasons why life is so complex and difficult to navigate is because we live in a complex web of relationships. It's not the natural world that's difficult to navigate or the material world of objects, but the social world, the world of relationships and human interactions. And according to the book of Proverbs, you're not going to be a wise person. You're not going to be successful in life unless you're great at choosing, forging, and keeping great friendships. Navigating friendships and social relationships is key to successfully navigating life. No man is an island. We all live in a complex web of relationships, and so understanding human relationships and how to flourish in them is a significant part of what it means to have wisdom. And Proverbs has quite a lot to say on the subject of friendship. And today we're going to look at what it says about friendship under four headings: the importance of friendship, the discovery of friendship, the forging of friendship, and the power for friendship. Why friendship is important, how it's discovered, how it's forged, and finally, where we get the power for it. First, let's look at the importance of friendship. Come with me to the first set of Proverbs. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. 15:17, better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. 19:22, what a person desires is unfailing love, better to be poor than a liar. 22:24 and 25, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person, do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn their ways and get yourself ensnared. Notice how the first and last Proverbs describe the influence that your friends have on your character. The way of the wicked leads people astray, and we learn the ways of the people we associate with. One of the reasons why friendship is so important is because it shapes who you are. While it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a friendship group to shape a character. If you spend time with people who are easily angered, then you will have permission to be angry and even encouraged to be angry, and so you yourself will become more prone to anger. But if you spend time with people who are patient, then the opposite happens, and you yourself become more patient. And so Proverbs 15:17 says, better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. According to Proverbs, it's better to have good friendships than it is to be rich and fighting with those around you. And it doesn't take much thought to see why. If you're dirt poor, then money will make you happy. But once you have enough money to keep the bill collectors at bay, having more money doesn't actually make you happier. However, relational conflict is the kind of thing that keeps people up at night. When our relationships are going well, we feel calm and at peace. But when we're in the midst of relational conflict, we're much more prone to stress and anxiety. And the reason why is given in Proverbs 19:22. What a person desires is unfailing love. Being made in the image of the triune God, who is relational by his very nature, means that we're so relational that the quality of our relationships is an incredibly good indicator and predictor of our quality of life. More than any material thing, we need good relationships with other people. But our culture is largely blind to this, because it seeks to meet this need primarily through romance. And you see this fairly clearly in the stories that we tell and in the songs that we sing. How many songs have we written about romantic love? And how many songs have we written about friendship? The songs about romantic love outnumber the songs about friendship by like trillion to one. And if you look at the stories we tell in our literature and in our movies, they're almost all about romantic love, or at least have romantic subplots. In fact, the only story in Western culture that was really about friendship was The Lord of the Rings. It's primarily about the fellowship of the ring and the beauty of friendship in the face of great adversity. And if you read the Lord of the Ring books, the romance between Aragorn and Arwen is in an appendix. It's relegated to an appendix at the end. But when Hollywood made it into a series of blockbuster films, they put the romance between Aragorn and Arwen front and center. Our individualistic culture is obsessed with romantic love. It's a good thing, but our culture lifts it up as if it's the only thing, essentially making it into an idol. Other cultures are different. Traditional cultures tend to hold up family relationships as central. And so, in the Chinese story of Mulan, the main theme and quest of the story is to bring honor to the family. That's what drives Mulan to become the hero. But in the Disney adaptation, Mulan falls in love with her captain, Li Shang. That was not part of the original story. But we Westerners had to make it about romantic love because that's what we do. Traditional cultures hold up family relationships as central. Our individualistic culture holds up romance. But in both cases, friendship takes a back seat. But Proverbs says that's a mistake. Proverbs 19:22, what a person desires is unfailing love. Therefore, it's better to be poor and have friends than a liar who steps on people to get ahead. See, the Bible has a very high place for marriage and a very high place for family. But it also says that if you're a Christian, then you can live without them. Jesus never married or had a family of his own, and yet he was the perfect example of what it is to be truly human. Paul never married or had a family, and yet he was able to be content in any and every situation. Why? Because while you can live without romantic love, what you cannot live without is good friendships. We're too relational to be alone. That's why loneliness has become such a big problem in our culture. You need all sorts of people to support you and encourage you and to warn you when you're about to do something stupid. It takes a village to raise a child, but a whole friendship group to shape a character. In the early stages of life, you're primarily the product of your family, but throughout the rest of your life, you're largely a product of your close friends. In fact, sociologists will tell you that, generally speaking, people tend to become the average of their five closest friends. It's your community that forms you. It's your community that shapes you. And the book of Proverbs says that you perish for a lack of friends or for having the wrong friends. Friendship is way more important than our culture realizes. Good friendships are essential for flourishing in the world. So given the importance of friendship, the question then becomes, how do we cultivate and forge strong friendships? Point two, the discovery of friendship. Come with me to the next set of Proverbs. Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. 15:12, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. 16:19, better to be lowly in spirit with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. 29:24, the accomplices of thieves are their own enemies. They put under oath and dare not testify. Notice how the first proverb describes friendship with the metaphor of walking. It's a very common metaphor used throughout the Bible. Friends are those with whom we walk through life with. And to walk with someone requires a shared path. You're on a journey, you're going somewhere together. And so Proverbs 15:12 describes how mockers share their avoidance of the wise. Proverbs 16:19 describes how the oppressed share a lowly spirit and how the proud share their plunder. And in fact, Proverbs 29:24 says that even thieves have a shared pursuit, which makes them accomplices and therefore tight-lipped, which is where we get the saying, thick as thieves. They're put under oath and dare not testify. In every case, friendship requires a foundation, an affinity, a common love, a common vision that can't be created, but is discovered. In C.S. Lewis's book, The Four Loves, he has a chapter on friendship in which he puts the point like this. He says, friendship arises out of mere companionship when two or more of the companions discover that they have in common some insight or interest or even taste which the others do not share and which till that moment each believed to be his own unique treasure or burden. The typical expression of the beginning of friendship would be something like, what, you two? I thought I was the only one. While lovers are always talking to one another about their love, friends hardly ever talk about their friendship. Lovers are normally face-to-face, absorbed in each other. Friends are side-by-side, absorbed in some common interest. You see what he's saying? What makes you a friend or not is not, do you want to be my friend, but you too? You think that's important too? You love that too? That creates a friend. Friendship requires a common interest or affinity or vision. To walk with someone in life, you need to be walking on the same path. And so Lewis goes on to say, those who simply want friends can never make any. The very condition of having friends is that we should want something else besides friends. Where the truthful answer to the question, do you see the same truth, would be, I see nothing and I don't care about that truth, I only want to be a friend, no friendship can arise. There will be nothing for the friendship to be about. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. You see how friendship needs to be discovered. It's not something that can be artificially manufactured. The way to make genuine friends is not to pursue people, but to pursue things with other people who can then become genuine friends. Friendship is two people looking at the same painting saying, you too? It's two people walking along the same path. It's the fellowship of the ring, a fellowship of people who have a shared journey and vision and struggle together towards it in the face of adversity. True friendship has to be discovered before it can be forged. But while true friendship can't only be forged but also needs to be discovered, at the same time it can't only be discovered but also has to be forged. Friendship can't be artificially created, but once it is created, it needs to be intentionally built. There's a discovery of friendship and a forging of friendship that go hand in hand. Point three, the forging of friendship. According to the book of Proverbs, there are four characteristics of friendships or building blocks for friendship that all good friendships have. And they are constancy, care, candor, and counsel. Constancy, care, candor, and counsel. Let's look at each one briefly. First of all, constancy. Have a look at Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. What does it mean to love at all times? Well, there are a number of proverbs about what you might call fair weather friends, and how some people are only friendly to the rich and powerful. But this proverb says that true friends are there in the good times and the bad. They're not just there when it's fair weather, but when you're going through the storm as well. A true friend loves at all times. You see the same thing in Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. What does it mean to stick closer than a brother? Well, one of the things about brothers is they don't stop being your brother when it's no longer useful. Business associates do. In fact, we have a whole series of relationships that are essentially consumer relationships, like the relationship that you have with your supermarket. If another supermarket has better products or better prices, then you change supermarkets. There's no commitment to the relationship. But friendship isn't like that. A true friend sticks closer than a brother. Friendship isn't a means to some other end, it's an end in and of itself. You're committed to the good of the other person, not just what you can get out of the friendship. And so there's a commitment and therefore a constancy among true friends. But secondly, friendship involves care. A care which takes into account who the other person is and their circumstances. Have a look at the next two proverbs. Proverbs 25:20, like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. And Proverbs 27:14, if anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. You see, friendship isn't just being there, it's being there in the right way. If you don't know that your friend has a heavy heart, or that they're not a morning person, or that they're allergic to something, whatever it is, then all of your efforts can backfire. And it can be as bad as pouring vinegar onto an open wound. True friends don't sing songs of joy while their friend is feeling depressed. There's an emotional connection between friends such that they feel each other's pain and share each other's joy. And so when you tell them bad news, they'll listen. They'll take the pain. They won't secretly be happy that you got knocked off your pedestal. And they won't tell you about some worse thing that happened to them. They'll listen, they'll take the pain, they'll be there for you. And when something good happens to you, they're happy for you. They're not secretly envious. They don't tell you about some good thing that happened to them to relativize your good fortune. Friends are emotionally invested. What happens to one affects the other. You know, in some parenting books, they say that once you've had children, you're only ever as happy as your least happy child. You're only ever as happy as your least happy child. When they're upset, you can't be anything but upset with them. And when they're bursting with joy, you're bursting with joy too. There's a sense in which you put your happiness inside their happiness. So that when they're happy, you're happy, and when they're sad, you're sad as well. It's the same with true friendship. If they have a heavy heart, then you have a heavy heart. And when their face brightens, your face brightens. There's an emotional connection and investment such that you feel each other's pain and share each other's joy. So first, there's constancy. Second, there's care. Thirdly, there's candor, or an openness and honesty in genuine friendship. If you go to the next slide, you should be able to see Proverbs 27:5-6. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Notice how vivid the metaphors are. An open rebuke from a friend is like a wound, but it's a wound that you need. It's a wound that can be trusted. But by contrast, enemies only multiply kisses. They don't tell you what they really think. They don't tell you when you're about to run into a brick wall. When people say to themselves, I love that person too much to confront them, or I love that person too much to tell them the truth, what they're really saying is, I love myself too much to go through that. I love myself too much to have that difficult conversation with them. But Proverbs 29:5 says, those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet. What does that mean? Well, if you only ever flatter someone and you don't challenge them as well as encourage them, then they're going to remain blind to all of their blind spots. And so they continue to make bad decisions because they're not aware of their weaknesses and where they need to change. Sometimes being a true friend means wounding them in the short term so they don't continue down a foolish path. It's something that every parent has to do with their children, and it's something that true friends do with great care. You see, candor on its own is, I'm just telling you the truth. But candor and care together is, I'm so emotionally connected that these wounds are going to create pain for me as well. That's the reason why it's so hard to be a good friend. Because you can be careful and just not say anything. Or you can be candid and not really care. And either one of those will avoid experiencing something painful. But being a good friend is painful. Because you care and you're candid. And it's constant. Constancy, care, candor. And fourthly, friendship involves counsel. Have a look at the last two Proverbs. Proverbs 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. And Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Notice the dual nature of friendly counsel. According to verse 9, it's pleasant like perfume and springs from the heart. But then in verse 17, it sharpens you like iron sharpening a sword. It knocks off your rough edges. It helps you to see things more clearly and consider things that you hadn't considered before. And if you really listen to people, you can learn an incredible amount of things from them because people have such different experiences. Most people don't do this. Most people, when they're in a conversation, are thinking of what they want to say next or waiting for an opportunity to say it. But if you really listen to people, try to see the world through their eyes, you can learn a huge amount of new things and even understand old things in new and different ways. And so you yourself can become sharpened into something much more powerful. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Now, most of the time, when iron sharpens iron, sparks fly. It creates conflict. This is a combative metaphor of hitting something to bring it into shape. And yet, when it springs from heartfelt advice, it's pleasant like perfume. It brings joy to the heart. It's pleasant and reassuring, and it's challenging and clashing. And that's why it's so powerful. If it was only pleasant and reassuring, then you would never be changed by it. And if it was only challenging and clashing, then you wouldn't listen to it. It has to be both. True friendship involves counsel, candor, constancy, and care. Or if you want to summarize them into two, a friend always lets you in and never lets you down. Always lets you in, never lets you down. Always lets you in, candor and counsel, never lets you down, constancy and care. It's quite a difficult thing to do when you think about it. Friendship is absolutely essential and neglected by our culture. and yet it has to be discovered and forged with candor and counsel and constancy and care. Where on earth do you get the power to do all of that? Point four, the power of friendship. Come with me to John 15 from verse 12. Jesus said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you." Notice how high of a bar Jesus is setting for friendship. Verse 12, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one life for one's friends. Jesus is calling us to love one another, even if it means laying down our life for our friends, even to the point of sacrificing ourselves for the sake of our friends. If Proverbs sets a high bar, Jesus sets it even higher. But Jesus doesn't just tell us what to do, he also gives us the power to do it. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I have made known to you. Notice how Jesus lets us all the way in. I no longer call you servants but friends, for I have opened myself up to you completely. Think of who Jesus was. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is the one through whom all of creation came into being. And yet, in order to let us in, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus came from heaven all the way to earth in order to let us in. And then he went all the way to the cross to demonstrate that he will never, ever let us down. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus saw his friends falling asleep on him, denying him, betraying him. And the Father effectively says, either you drink this cup and go to hell on the cross, or you're going to lose your friends. Jesus says, I'll drink the cup. Not my will, but your will be done. He's the friend who loves at all times. He's a brother born for a time of adversity. He's the friend who sticks closer than a brother. He's the one who doesn't just give us wounds that can be trusted, but who takes our wounds upon himself so that we can move out into the world in love and trust towards others. Being a true friend is hard. It takes discovery, it takes constancy, candor, counsel, care. But when you see Jesus coming all the way to earth to let us in, and then going all the way to the cross rather than let us down, it changes you into the kind of person who's willing to lay down your life for others. Jesus' command isn't just love each other. It's love each other as I have loved you, because I've poured out my love for you, in the strength with which I've loved you. Or in the language of 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. There's no greater love than this, that Christ laid down his life for us, so that we can therefore lay down our lives for others. Proverbs 19:22 says that what a person desires is unfailing love. To the degree that you look to Christ for the unfailing love that all of us desperately need, to that degree, you'll be able to be the kind of friend who pours out your life for others, rather than someone who needs others to pour out themselves for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the friends that you have blessed us with, and for the opportunities that we have to discover and forge friendships with each other and with those around us. We pray that you would help us to be friends who are there for each other, who care for each other, who are willing to speak the truth to each other, and who counsel each other from the heart. We pray that Christ's sacrifice for us on the cross would transform us into people who seek to comfort others rather than be comforted, who seek to understand rather than be understood, and who seek to love others rather than be loved. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm going to sing a song about exactly that last point that John made, how our lives are not ours. They're to be lived for the sake of Christ. As I sing this song, if you want to sing along, feel free, but otherwise feel free to listen to the words and just spend some time meditating on what has just been shared. I live is not my own, for my Redeemer paid the price. He took it to be his alone, to be his treasure and his prize. The things of earth I leave behind to live in worship of my King. His is the right to rule my life. Mine is a joy to live for Him. I died to sin upon that cross. I'm bound to Jesus in His death. The old is gone, and now I must rely on Him for every breath. With every footstep that I tread, what mysteries He has in store. I cannot know what lies ahead, but know that He has gone before. There is a voice that pierced the grave of how they rolled the stone away. A sound of life, I know I'm saved. The voice of God has called my name. So I will rise and in the air behold the glory of the King. I will not fear is here with Him. So I will rise and in the air behold the glory of the King. I will not fear to meet Him there. I know my life is here.